I have felt for some months that there's a need for a summary of what's happened so far. A simple summary of how and why politicians, billionaires and assorted crooks have stolen our freedom, destroyed democracy and deliberately introduced policies designed to kill billions. I hope that those who are already awake will recommend this video to those who are fast asleep. Everything in this video is, as always, completely accurate and can be easily proved by doing some research, but avoiding websites such as those owned by the BBC, The Guardian and the rest of the mainstream media. The BBC is supposed to be impartial, fair and balanced. It's none of those things. It should be closed down and the staff given more responsible work, mending potholes, clearing away discarded face masks out of the nation's hedgerows would perhaps not be entirely beyond their capabilities. Oh, and the fact checkers should be avoided. There are now thousands of them around the world and too many are crooked, bought and paid for by individuals, corporations and charities with vested interests to protect. The fraud of all time began in early 2020 when a mathematician called Ferguson warned that COVID-19 was going to bring the world to a halt, affect millions and cause a gazillion deaths. Now, Ferguson doesn't exactly have an enviable track record. He works at Imperial College in London, which has close links with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, or a close link with their money. Over recent years, Ferguson has made a number of exaggerated forecasts, and if he were a racecourse tipster, you'd steer well clear of him. Ferguson screwed up over the foot and mouth disease, and so on and so on. But on the basis of Ferguson's bizarre predictions for the rebranded seasonal flu, which at the time, after taking a close look at the available evidence, I thought to be hovering somewhere between stupid and very stupid, there was talk of locking up decent healthy citizens and introducing oppressive totalitarian new laws. I wrote some articles for my website and eventually felt so strongly that Ferguson's forecasts made about as much sense as something dreamt up by the Marx Brothers that in mid-March 2020 I recorded a video for YouTube. I called the video Coronavirus Scare, the Hoax of the Century, and I forecast that it seemed to me that the plan of the coronavirus hoax was to kill off a lot of old people, bring in a cashless society and eventually introduce mandatory vaccinations. It turned out that I was absolutely right. But from a personal point of view, that was probably the most stupid thing I've ever done, and I've regretted it ever since. Within hours, lies and libels about me began to appear everywhere on the internet. Anonymous and malicious Wikipedia editors decided that I was suddenly discredited, though they didn't bother producing any evidence for this libel. In addition, I suddenly became a pseudoscientist and a conspiracy theorist, though no one bothered to provide any evidence for these either, other than the fact that I was using facts to question the government's lies. I suspect I'm the only MCC member to have been labelled a conspiracy theorist. A couple of days after I'd been libelled and my reputation had been trashed by crazed left-wing extremists working for the CIA, the British government's advisers officially decided that the bug that Ferguson thought was going to kill everyone was actually no worse than the flu. The details of that decision are on my website. Aha, I thought, the people who've libelled me will now apologise, Ferguson will be sent to the salt mines or to teach in a primary school in some faraway corner of the empire, and the government will apologise. That's the only forecast I've made which was wrong. Instead of putting Ferguson out to grass, the government had, within hours, published an emergency bill which gave it the authority to remove all our freedoms, abolish democracy and turn the UK into a totalitarian state. Previously free citizens, guilty of no crimes, were told that they couldn't leave their homes unless they were shopping for approved essential items. Clothing, shoes and bedding did not appear on the list of essentials. Mixing with friends and relatives was banned, and the police arrested those renegades who dared to travel further than the Prime Minister could ride his bicycle. All this was done in response to a bug which had, just hours earlier, been officially downgraded to flu level. Having done this, the immediate problem was that nowhere near enough people were dying. Despite the government's assurances that undertakers would be overwhelmed, the number dying did not rise above what might be expected in a fairly ordinary flu season. However, in the UK, Johnson's fascist government was not easily displaced from its lunge towards totalitarianism. as soon as it became clear that nowhere near enough people were dying of Ferguson's over-promoted flu, the government changed the rules and started fiddling the figures in a way that might have aroused eyebrows even among the seediest of seedy accountants. And this was where the corruption really began. It was quite simply a coup, created by a number of conspiracy practitioners with very evil intentions. This was, make no mistake about it, a power and money grab. And all around the world, politicians did the same apparently inexplicable things. Billions of people were put under house arrest. Economies were deliberately wrecked. Business people and entrepreneurs were ruined, all for the annual flu bug. Schools were closed for no reason. Hospital departments were shut, and hospital staff started dressing up in fancy dress, as though they were planning to journey into space or remove asbestos from an old church. With not enough to do, many performed strange dances which were put onto the internet to entertain the millions who were being denied medical treatment. Politicians claimed that hospitals were under tremendous pressure, but the figures showed that wards and intensive care units were emptier than usual. The public were urged to stand on their doorsteps and to clap. Thousands of elderly patients in care homes were deliberately murdered by brutal, ruthless policies deliberately introduced to reduce the population. Governments and big companies quietly admitted that they'd saved billions in pension payments. We were constantly being told not to kill Granny, and yet grannies were denied hospital care and had DNR notices slapped on them. And although even governments and their advisers had all previously agreed that wearing masks did no damn good at all, and were indeed certain to do far more harm than good, it was suddenly decided that masks should be worn by everyone everywhere unless they were working in a few select places, such as government offices, where the coronavirus was apparently not allowed to enter. Thousands of simple-minded and compliant citizens started wearing their masks in the street, while exercising, in their motor cars, and probably while in the bath. They were unaware that the masks, like the social distancing, were all part of a training program, encouraging obedience and compliance. Remember, all this you can check online. My free mask book, available on my websites, is packed with all the scientific evidence anyone could need. And all this, remember, was being done to protect us against a bug which was killing no more people than the annual flu. If they reported every flu death as they did with COVID-19, everyone would be terrified of the seasonal flu. Flu can kill up to 650,000 people per season worldwide. How strange that flu has now disappeared. Most alarming of all, perhaps, was the way that the mainstream media supported the unsupportable, defended the indefensible, and refused to question the lies, the deceits, and the rejection of the evidence. Much of the media had financial links to the vaccine-promoting Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Left-wing organisations such as the BBC and The Guardian seemed unembarrassed by their financial links to Gates. Corruption was everywhere. Politicians, doctors and advisers were all exposed as having powerful links to the big drug companies. Around the world, massive corruption went unreported, even though politicians were handing over plum mask-making contracts to their chums. With the media bought and paid for, with a massive advertising campaign, there was no debate, and uncomfortable facts were suppressed. The BBC, one of the worst offenders, even boasted that it didn't interview or debate with people whose views did not fit in with the official party line on vaccines. Scientists and doctors who dared to question government policy were slapped down, demonised and dismissed as pseudoscientists. Evidence that death rates were massively oversold and that the disease is not transmitted asymptomatically was dismissed as irrelevant, and pseudo-journalists and the BBC adopted working guidelines that would have gone down well at Pravda in the days of the USSR. Right at the start, it was immediately obvious that the lockdowns and closures of hospital departments would kill far more people than the over-promoted flu, and that's exactly what happened. However, none of these premature deaths was wasted. Governments around the world decided that anyone who died must have died of COVID-19, the most overhyped intruder since Madonna had burst upon Britain's shores some decades earlier. In order to help substantiate their fiction, the government decided that anyone who died within a month or two of having coughed or tested positive for the coronavirus must have died of COVID-19. And when they still didn't produce enough deaths to make an epidemic, the government started fiddling the test figures so that anyone who had a cold or the flu in the previous year or two would test positive for COVID-19. Ignoring even the rules recommended by the World Health Organization, now pretty well privately owned by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, they set the test so lightly that it helped boost the death rate from COVID-19. They did something else too. They kept a rolling count of the number of deaths. Usually deaths are totted up according to certain time periods. With flu, for example, there are six-month seasons. But with COVID-19, they just kept adding up the figures so that they could make sure that the total exceeded the number dying from flu in one of the usual six-month periods. And all the time, they promised that everything would go back to normal once the vaccines arrived. The drug companies suddenly became heroes, riding to the rescue with billions of dollars worth of new vaccines, which everyone seemed to acclaim as world-saving and which no one in governments anywhere pointed out were experimental and potentially lethal. Everyone who tells you that the current COVID-19 vaccines will stop you getting COVID-19 is a liar. That includes the government, the opposition, government advisers, the media, including the BBC, of course, the crooked fact-checkers, many of whom paid for by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the drug companies, the smarmy media doctors, and your GP. If they tell you that Pfizer or Moderna or AstraZeneca vaccines will stop you getting COVID-19, then they're lying. And anyone who tells you that the vaccines will stop you spreading COVID-19 is a liar too. If I'm wrong, they can all line up and sue me, but they can't and they won't, because I'm right. And the last thing any of them want is to leave court red-faced and empty-handed with massive publicity showing the fraud. But here's the nasty bit. They'll keep on lying. They'll keep on telling you that the vaccine will stop you getting COVID-19 and stop you passing it on, even though they should know it won't do either of those things. They'll lie about the number of people who've had the vaccine. They lie about everything. So if it doesn't stop you getting COVID-19 and it doesn't stop you spreading it if you do get it, what the devil does the vaccine do? Well, the COVID-19 vaccines might reduce the significance of your symptoms if you do get it. But since most people who do get it either don't have any symptoms or have very mild symptoms, that isn't much of an upside for a vaccine that I believe can kill you or maim you. Just look at the evidence on my website. That's the other thing, of course. They'll tell you that the vaccine doesn't have any serious side effects. The pseudo-reporters at the BBC and the media doctors and the politicians will tell you that the deaths and so on are all a coincidence. If you drop dead a month after a positive COVID-19 test, then you died of COVID-19, even if you didn't have any symptoms. But if you drop dead 5 minutes after having the COVID-19 vaccine, then it's a coincidence. How many coincidences make a conspiracy? I heard today of a 24-year-old who's desperate to have the vaccine. I believe she's got more chance of dying as she travels to the vaccination centre than she has of COVID-19. I'm convinced she's got more of a chance of dying or being severely injured by the damn vaccine than by COVID-19. Around the world, official government figures show that thousands have been killed or seriously injured by the COVID-19 vaccines. But the media and the politicians insist that the vaccines are safe and never do harm, and the doctors lie too, either because they can't be bothered to find out the truth, even though their patients' lives are at risk, or they're because they're so greedy and desperate for the huge fees they're being paid to give the vaccines that they don't bother to do any research. I don't know which is worse. Maybe it doesn't matter. We're living in a time ruled by lies and liars. The politicians lie. The advisers lie, the journalists lie, and the doctors lie. Many of them don't even know that they're lying, of course. They don't bother to do any research. One GP said he didn't know anything about the vaccine, but that the government had said it was necessary. I fear that we will, in the end, be destroyed by the idiots, the collaborators, and the compliant zombies who readily accept and believe the lies. People believe the lies because it's easier than facing the truth. There is, of course, a purpose to all this. None of it's happening by accident. I've explained the evil purpose of the Agenda 21 followers in other videos. And if you want to know how Agenda 21 developed and what the long-term plan is, take a look at my new book, Endgame. There's a link below, if the book's still there. We can win, but it's a hard, hard-fought war we're in. Thank you for watching. An old man in a chair. Please subscribe to this channel. There's a link in the box below for the brand new Tube app, which will notify you every time I release a new video. I haven't monetized this channel, and there are no advertisements and no sponsors, nor will there ever be. Thanks as always to Mohammed Button, brand new Tube, for providing the platform in these dark and difficult days. Please copy and share the videos everywhere you can. Let's spread the truth. If you'd like to put on a translation, that would be great. Don't forget to read the light paper on thelightpaper.co.uk. Also watch my friend Colin Barron's excellent videos. Watch UK Column and listen to the Richie Allen radio show. Visit my two websites, vernoncolman.com and vernoncolman.org. The vernoncolman.com site is the original, slightly old-fashioned version that's been there for over 20 years and which contains hundreds of articles on a range of topics. The vernoncolman.org site is modern, snazzy and easier to use if you want to share articles and videos. Finally, although it may feel like it at times, please remember that you're not alone. More and more people are waking up. And when they're awake, they'll stay awake. We can win this war. But if we're going to win this war, we have to fight with passion, with determination and with the facts. Distrust the government, avoid mass media, and fight the lies. And thank you for watching An Old Man in a Chair.